Now, Richard Haass, of course, has called for a Troubles Museum to be built in Northern Ireland. You may have read that earlier in the week. The US diplomat said the idea wasn't included in his blueprint on flags, the past and parades because it had proved too controversial. But he does think that it's essential. So are we ready for such a museum, or is the past still too raw to reach agreement on what would actually go into it? Earlier, I spoke to former Sinn Féin publicity director Danny Morrison and also political commentator Alex Kane. Started by asking Danny for his thoughts.
Well, certainly I think it could play an important part in being a focal point and bringing all the protagonists together to actually empathise and see each other's point of view. Now, my concern would be, of course, that if it was meant to displace the Longcash Maze project, I mean, which was, of course, an International Peace and Reconciliation Centre dealing with conflict. But otherwise, I think, yes, a Troubles Museum could play a very important part.
It could also be an issue of even more division, though, given what we've seen around the Maze Longcash project.
Well, I don't see why that should be the case. I mean, there are already, for example, Healing Through Remembering, who I think are based in Ormer Avenue, Cross Community Project, have got artefacts there that people can go and view from all sides to the conflict. And I think it's very, very important that, you know, that is available there. I don't see what people have to fear about walking in other people's footsteps and seeing exactly how they felt.
Alex Kane, I always remember back to a discussion on the programme one of the mornings. I was sitting in for Stephen, and it was around Maze Longcash. And I always thought part of the problem there was that nobody actually was able to give an idea of what it was going to look like or what it was going to be like. And in that sort of vacuum, everybody painted their own idea, their own picture of what this place was going to be like, what was going to be in it and how it was going to work. And nobody actually came up with a vision of this is what it's going to be, and people then could have made their mind up and made a judgment.
I think that's always going to be the trouble, Joel, in all of this, because people will say, no matter what it is, whether it's a talks process or a negotiation process or a museum or whatever, there's always that general sense of, oh, yeah, well, maybe that would be a good idea. Yes, let's do something. But then you get down to the real nitty-gritty, and it's going to be the problem with the museum, which I actually agree with. I'm a guy like Danny. We're interested in history. What happened, why it happened, who motivated, who didn't motivate. The problem with this, I suspect, is like so many things, it'll boil down to, you know, if you want the museum to work, I suspect it needs to be on something around, do we agree on history? Do we agree on the circumstance? Do we agree on the timeline? And I think that's at that moment when they sit down, even the people on all sides who may like the idea, when you sit down and say, well, this is the structure, this is the timeline, this is how we're going to do it. It'll be, oh, well, no, that didn't happen. That happened because of that. That was your fault. And suddenly, within a matter of days, perhaps, rather than having a rational discussion, a collective discussion about what actually happened, it becomes automatically us and them turf. And maybe one way around that is that you keep the politicians out of this. You actually bring in, you know, people like Eamon Phoenix, Paul Bew, professional historians, academics, people who have studied the whole period. I actually say to them, guys, with no commitment, with no guarantee that anything will come out of this, could you maybe collectively come up with some overview of how we could move this project forward?
I mean, even in terms of location, Alex, I mean, the whole Maze thing fell apart. So, you know, where would you have it? Would you have it in Belfast?
But this is, again, we're back to this old, I mean, the location is exactly the same as the shared history, because that in itself it can be a very visible manifestation of whose history it actually is. I think, to be honest, I really don't, and this applies to the Maze as well, I always thought this about the Maze, it doesn't actually matter where you have this. It really doesn't. As long as all the key people, whether it's the academics or the politicians who have finally bought into it, as long as they agree that this is our history, this is how we see ourselves, we can stand over this. If you have that agreement, then it doesn't matter whether you plunk it in the Crumlin Road, whether you plunk it in Sandy Road, it doesn't matter, because even where you're plunking, you're saying to people, it doesn't matter, just come along, this is your history, it's our history.
It's funny though, isn't it, Danny Morrison, and what Richard Haass has said, he has actually probably summed it up pretty well, in that he thinks it's essential, but if there is such a thing, it was more controversial than it is essential. And that's why he didn't put it in the document.
Well, you know, I think, first of all, we have to differentiate between the Conflict Resolution Centre that was, earmarked for the Maze Longcash area. Because when Daniel Libeskind developed that plan, It was solely for a debate and discussion for other people in the world who were involved in conflict to try and come along and learn our lessons and learn from us in order to avoid mistakes that we made. Troubles Museum is entirely different. I disagree with Alex that it should be handed over to professional historians.
There was an idea of an element of a museum, though, to be part of the Mayor's Long Case development, was there not?
Yes, that was a section of it, but don't think that was the mainstay. I don't think it was the mainstay. We have, by the way, we have little museums all around the place.
Yes.
You know, there was a out in the Lyle, I think, where the prison officers' training centre was, it was a very impressive museum, which is now closed off to the public. And they had access, for example, to the UVF murals that were painted up in the UVF cages in 1973, 1974. I think also there is at Knocker Garnival, there's an RUC museum which is not open to the public unless you make a special application. There is a wonderful, brilliant volunteer museum on the Falls Road dedicated to a former Armagh prisoner, Eileen Hickey. So you have all these little museums around.
So would your ideal idea be an idea maybe of bringing elements of all those little museums together under one roof, as opposed to telling a narrative just to bring little aspects of various museums from various pockets of time in under one roof? Would that be a starting point?
You see, I don't think that the very fact that you have artifacts or displays that you know, they should all represent an argument.
It doesn't necessarily have to tell a story.
They should represent an education. You know, for example, many certain people in certain leafy suburbs ever saw a bin lid, you know, which was used after an internment, which is actually one of which is actually on display in the Healing Through Remembering Offices, that cross community group on Armour Avenue. There's various things that could be shown and illustrated, writings. There could be access to a bibliography of every book, document, feature film that was ever made or depicted the conflict here. So I think it's lots of potential regarding where it would be located. Well, personally, as a nationalist Republican, you know, if once again I hear it's going to be located in the Titanic Quarter, you know, right away, the hairs go up in the back of my neck. I think it needs to be city centre based. In fact, there's a beautiful derelict and perhaps lifted building in Bedford Street, around the corner from the BBC there, opposite the Ulster Hall. That would make a beautiful location, lovely location, central, accessible to everyone and neutral.
Do you honestly think there would be any chance of getting it off the ground if, as you were saying, you know, you feel the politicians do need to be brought in? I mean, when you actually look at Richard Haass saying that he thought it was so controversial that he didn't include it in his blueprint, so obviously he didn't see that there was much mileage in getting any sort of agreement around the table with the politicians he was talking to.
This venue, this location, we just get everybody to contribute something towards it. And I know for a fact, in my own experience, that when the ceasefire was called, when I came out of jail, when I began to meet the former RUC men, former British soldiers, former loyalist paramilitaries, you were able to understand for the first time something of their experience, from what angle they saw things. And it was an education in itself. So I think that the experiences of other people, you know, the unionist community in Fermanagh, what the nationalist community went through, I think all of this could come together. I mean, for example, recently in the news has been Crumlin Road Jail and the way it was built, you know, with A wing, B wing, C wing, D wing, all under control but running into a circle. So imagine if you had like the nationalist experience in A wing, unionist experience in B wing, C, D, used for whatever, and in the centre is where we meet and where we can agree, in the circle.
Alex Cain, do you think it would be worth the controversy that Richard Haass thinks it would provide?
Yes, because I think sometimes it isn't just Northern Ireland, Joel. I think it's anywhere in the world where you're trying to bring and sometimes reluctantly drag a society, all sides of society, onto some collective territory and some sort of collective agreement of who they are and what they were. It's going to involve hugely difficult decisions and it's going to involve controversy. I sometimes think in Northern Ireland we tend, and this may seem almost an ironic thing to say, we tend to shy away from these things. When something looks as though it's going to be difficult or controversial, this is sort of, oh, well, let's not touch it. And in not touching it, we actually end up, you know, disputing over things which aren't really all that important. And I think Danny's right. We need... I mean, he's a very good point about the bin lid, which he said earlier. You know, it isn't just the leafy suburbs, people who don't understand that, Danny. There's lots of people from ordinary areas who still, after all this time, don't really have any perception whatsoever of the other side in the 1950s, 1960s, and 70s, the working classes on both sides still don't collectively understand that they shared exactly the same problems in that period and were treated in many ways by the government in exactly the same derogatory way. So, yeah, we have to, and maybe, you know, I don't think the big thing I said in this, I don't think the politicians will agree, because I think it will always come down to us and them, whose interpretation, who should get the majority of this, who should steer. It's not going to work like that. That's why I said maybe historians and academics, and maybe even bring in entrepreneurs. But if the politicians can't agree in flags, they can't agree in parades, they can't agree on how to run a normal government, there's no way, there is no way on this earth at any time soon they're going to be able to agree on a museum. But I think it's important that we really push ahead and start saying, let's face up to some very difficult realities in Northern Ireland. And if the politicians don't have the guts to do it, maybe we find another method for ordinary people just to say, well, actually, this is not just your story, Mr. Robinson and Mr. McGuinness. It's our story. We all lived through this.
I think, we want to hear from as many of them as possible after we finish speaking to you both this morning, 0845955678, to see if it's something that would press the right buttons for the wider general public. I mean, do you think the public would embrace it finally, Danny Morrison?
Well, I think so. I think that the figures of the numbers of people who, you know, the footfall through the Ulster Museum there during the Troubles exhibition, I think that there's great potential for it. I think there's a lot to be learnt. I think, by the way, it doesn't necessarily have to be controlled by the executive or the assembly. Some organisation could be set up, fund it, and allow it to be totally inclusive. And that probably is the way to get over it. And Alex can bring the bin, and I'll bring the bin lid.
That was Danny Morrison there, and Alex Keane.